And I believe he's moving in Palmyra. I believe we're just in the beginning stages of God doing great and mighty things, awesome signs and wonders and miracles. Our God is a miracle worker, amen? Hallelujah. We need to get excited a little bit about Jesus. We need to close our eyes. We need to forget about what happened on Monday, what happened on Tuesday, and what happened today. And we just need to focus on Jesus right now. Hallelujah. You need to give him some praise. You need to lift up your voice. You need to stir yourself up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Our God is good. Oh, he's come to do a great and mighty work in us, through us, and to us. Oh, hallelujah, Father. We just give you thanks and praise. We lift up the name of Jesus. We glorify your name. We praise you, Lord God. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like praising. Then you can offer a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto him. Oh, hallelujah. That's the best time to praise him, when you don't feel like it, when you don't have any unction. Glory to God. You do it because he's worthy. You do it because he's God. You do it because he's awesome in power. He is the Almighty. He is high and lifted up. He is our King, our Lord, and our Savior. Oh, hallelujah. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He took sin away. He brought forgiveness. Hallelujah. He restored us with a right relationship with the Father. Oh, we bless you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let me tell you something. Don't let the rocks outdo you. Glory to God. Oh, we give you praise and honor and glory. We magnify you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, the angels got so excited that they did a concert at the birth of Jesus. Hallelujah. And they carry on that same excitement when one person gives their heart to the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. I think we're where we need to be this moment. You can have your seats. Praise the Lord. Want to just remind you that tomorrow we begin our Mentorship for Life series. It'll be at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. You can come to either the 10 a.m. or the 7 p.m., whatever works best for you. And you're going to get some powerful, practical things for life. Amen? Amen? Can you use some powerful, practical things for life? Yes. So, want to make sure that you can be here for that. And then Saturday, we're having a volunteer meeting for current helpers and ones that have a desire to help. And Pastor Don Neff will be with us Saturday from 10 to 12 in the morning, 10 to noon. So, got a lot of things going on. Good things, amen? Amen. Well, you glad you're here tonight? Yes. Say, look at your neighbor and say, I made it. I'm here. Glory to God. I'm excited because I believe that we're in the beginning stages of something awesome. Something great. You know, this country has had the privilege of sharing in a lot of great moves over the centuries. You know, I read one time that there was a revival started in Cane Ridge, Kentucky. They call it the Cane Ridge Revival, and that was in 1799 and 1801. And there was like 25,000 people that were coming to that from all around. They estimated that there was about a third of people living in America at that time were coming to the revival. And of course, we've had great awakenings. We've had more than one great awakening. We've had preachers like Jonathan Edwards, who talked about sinners in the hands of an angry God. I heard reports that he could preach to 100,000 people without a microphone. Amen? And you know what? God is not done with reviving his body. He is reviving his church because you know what? He's coming back for a glorious church. And you know what? Without spot or wrinkle, how do you get the wrinkles out? You got to apply some heat. All right? You got to iron the wrinkles out. And that's what God is doing. So tonight we're going to begin something about talking about keys to revival. Like what happens in a revival? All right? How many are familiar with the term revival? All right? How many are familiar with the term to revive? What do you do when you revive someone? Bring them back to life. Maybe you have to do CPR, all right? Or maybe they have to do the shock thing, the defibrillator, all right? And anyway, there's some action that can take place to bring life back into a person. Now, revival doesn't mean that you're dead. Because in revival, God can shake things up. Amen? If you want to add some pepper to your steak, what do you got to do? You got to shake it, right? If you just set the pepper container near the steak, you're not going to get any pepper on that steak. Amen? You got to shake it, right? And there are times in history, there are moments when God needs to shake us. Amen? He needs to shake us to awake us. And we are being shook. We saw some of it on Sunday. And we're going to see more of it. So my job is to get you ready. Look at someone and say, get ready. Because God's got a plan. You say, what's God going to do when he shows up? I don't know what he's going to do. There are some general things that get done, but you know what? I'm just going to allow God to have his way. How many, say that with me. Say, I will allow God to have his way. That means when he decides to move in a particular way, you just say, if that's okay with you, God, it's okay with me. All right? And I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 35. And we're going to look at some keys to revival. These are some general things that God wants to do in a move. When I think of revival, I just think of a move of the Holy Spirit. I just think when God puts his power and demonstration on display in such a way that people turn to God, that things that weren't, they were dormant within them become alive and they start to spring forth, they start to produce fruit. Amen? You know, of course, it involves healings and deliverances, but it causes us to have a greater awareness of God's will in the earth. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easy just to kind of become ho-hum. Ho-hum. You know, it's kind of like being in a lazy river sometimes. You ever had like an inner tube on the lazy river? It's just slow moving. And you know, it's like comfortable and you can kind of be lulled to sleep. And sometimes the enemy just wants us to lull us to sleep so he doesn't have to bother with us. But amen? But it's time to wake up. It's time to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen? It's time for us to do our part in this last great move of God, whatever God wants to do, so that we can help prepare the way. Amen? The ministry of John the Baptist is still going on today, preparing the way for the King. Isaiah chapter 35. These are some things that take place in a revival. I'm going to read it, then we're going to go back over it. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. Say glad. Okay? The desert shall rejoice. Say rejoice. And blossom as the rose. Say blossom. it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. Say singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Revival is just when we can see the glory of God and the excellency of Him. Strengthen the weak hands. Everybody say strengthen. Confirm the feeble knees. Everybody say confirm. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Say, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Say, save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open. Say, open. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Say, unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Say, leap. And the tongue of the dumb sing. Say, sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out. Everybody say, break out. And streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool. Say, a pool. And the thirsty land springs of water. Say, springs. In the habitation of dragons or jackals, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. A way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Say, holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Say, redeemed. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Say, return. And come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Say, everlasting joy. Upon their heads they shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Can you say amen? Amen. These are some things that we can expect to happen in the midst of God moving in this earth. Okay? Now, when you think of a desert, do you think of it as a lush, wonderful place to be? When you think of a desert, what do you think of? Sand? Dry? What else? Huh? Thirsty. All right, what else? Heat? Hot? Okay. Now, I just looked up some information about a desert from Wikipedia. Did you know that deserts take up about 20% of the Earth's land surface? Deserts have very low water content. Maybe about 10 inches a year of rain. You don't usually see too many green trees in the desert. You don't always have an abundance of water in the desert. It's hot. And there's only a small amount of things that live there and survive there. Now he says that the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad. So this tells me that part of when God moves, it's always with gladness. Anytime that God moves, there is gladness that's a result of it. And He is the source of our joy. Now, I want you to notice, wilderness can be lonely. But when God comes into a wilderness, it ceases to be a wilderness. He literally changes the environment of a place. of a location. If you don't believe me, ask Nineveh. Nineveh was a place that was scheduled for judgment. And God sent a man by the name of Jonah to tell them that they were going to be destroyed. And in hearing that message, the place of Nineveh changed. They were going to be destroyed. But because they heard of the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord got to go to Nineveh. And when the word showed up, it changed the environment. It caused people to repent. It caused people to change. They had a change of heart and a change of attitude. Now Nineveh is no longer, it wasn't set for destruction. It was set for righteousness. You might be going through a dry place in your life. A place without refreshing streams of water. You know, you can't go too long in the natural without water. Your body is made up mostly of water. And then he said, the desert will rejoice. Now, you don't hear too much of rejoicing going on in the desert. But not only is it going to rejoice, it's going to blossom abundantly. It's going to, he said, the glory of Lebanon and the excellency of Mount Carmel and the plain of Sharon, that it's going to become that. What that means is a desert it'll flourish with green plants. It'll have lush vegetation. And it'll flourish, and it'll be able to sustain life. So you might be in a dry place in your life, but the water is on its way. The water of refreshing, the water of quenching, the water of satisfying. God's going to send water to your desert, and it won't be a desert anymore. It won't be dry anymore. It won't be barren anymore. What couldn't produce fruit is going to start producing fruit. How many know of Aaron's rod? Aaron had a stick. It was a rod that he walked with. And as a supernatural sign, God said, that rod is going to bud. That rod hadn't been connected to a tree. That rod had been cut off from a tree for a long time. But because God said it was going to come to life, that rod budded. Life came out of that dead rod. Listen, God can bring life out of anything. He can change. He can bring health out of sickness. He can bring prosperity out of lack. God is a specialist in change. And I want God to do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. I'm not putting any limits on God. I'm not putting God in a box. Listen, there's not a box big enough. The earth is his footstool. What kind of box are you going to put God in? Look at your neighbor and say, you better think big. A desert could also speak of moral or spiritual desolation. You could say that our country is like a desert, morally, spiritually. And it doesn't seem like seems like people enjoy the desert. It's spiritual desolation. I'm talking about the world, not the believer, but the world. The desert could speak of like a moral wilderness or a spiritual desert. You know, you just feel dry and you know, when your skin is dry, it's all crackly and it's rough. And, you need some lotion. Well, God's got a lotion. It's called the anointing. And really what it means to anoint something is to smear something. You know, like when you take a honey glazed ham, you want to take honey and put it all over that ham. You want to smear honey on that ham. I don't know where all this is coming from. So what God wants to do is he wants to change our desolation. He wants to change our desert. The wilderness shall be Didn't say it was right now, but it shall be. Amen? Listen, shall be is a process. God may say to you, you shall be rich. Sometimes it's a process. You got to take the steps of faith to get from point A to point B, and that's a process. The shall be is here, but see, here's the thing about faith. Faith believes in the shall be before it can be seen, before it can be felt. So as far as faith is concerned, you have it now, but you're just walking, and boom, you're gonna contact it. So we are gonna come in contact with wilderness, with the change of a wilderness, a change of environment. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 44. We're going to come back to 35, but go to Isaiah 44. Look at verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, speaking of Israel, and Israel, whom I have chosen. See, Jacob became Israel. Thus says the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, fear not. Tell yourself, say, I don't fear. Listen, don't fear. I don't care how high the gas price is, don't fear. You know, if there was such an oil shortage in the world, why do they keep discovering new pockets of oil? If we were in such short supply, how come they keep discovering more and more locations where oil is? Let me tell you, there's enough in this earth to sustain the people on it. But we, the people of God, have got to tap into these things by faith. Who did God make the resources for? Us. And if someone who is in a position of authority is preventing us, then guess what? We need to use our faith to get them out of the way. Look at verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. So if you're in a dry, desolate, barren place, guess what? God pours water on you. He's got an abundance of water in heaven. Amen? He knows where all the stashes of water are. He'll pour water. Listen, Moses was in the wilderness. He had to get water for 2.5 million people plus all their animals. I found out that a cow drinks 50 gallons of water a day. One cow. 10 cows is 500 gallons of water a day. And they came to places in the wilderness that they had no water. They didn't know where they were going to get it, but God did. God said, strike the rock. When they struck that rock, water gushed. Who would think to strike a rock? I don't even think Survivor Man or Bear Grylls. But you see, it doesn't matter where you are, but it does matter who you know. So he said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Is a flood a little water or a lot of water? I will pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. So when you have need of water, of refreshing, when you have a thirst, you know what happens when you hunger and thirst? When it comes to God, you get filled. Are you thirsty tonight? So if you're thirsty, then come and drink, because there is water here. Amen? There is water, spiritual water, natural water. So if you're thirsty, he'll pour water on you. Now, there are three places. Go back to Isaiah 35. There are three places that he referenced here. Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon. The word Carmel means fruit garden or orchard. It's the name of a mountain range, and it was beautiful. It was lush. It was productive. It was fruitful. The whole mountainside is dressed with blossom and flowering shrubs and fragrant herbs. And the word Sharon was a place extending from the Mediterranean hill country to the west of Jerusalem. And it was celebrated for its beauty and its fertility. It had rich, fertile ground. Okay? And Lebanon were known for its cedars, not its bologna or bologna. The scenes of Lebanon were remarkable for their grandeur, their beauty, and they supplied a lot of pictures. So God said that your wilderness is going to be like a fruitful, lush, fruit-producing place that's beautiful. He turns your wilderness, your dry place, your solitary place, your barren place, your hard place, your wilderness place into something. He gives you beauty for ashes. He gives you the oil of joy for mourning. He gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He gives you hope when hope is gone. He can transform any situation. We just have to let him. You know, I heard a statement today from a minister. He said, all believers are Christians, but not all Christians are believers. Think about that. Sometimes someone can become a Christian, but they don't believe God for anything else. You know, you're supposed to live by what? Faith. You're not supposed to live by your feelings. Why? Because feelings change. They're unstable. You could feel one thing one minute and feel something totally different the next. It's called being moody. But I'm not going to go there. So here we have the wilderness is going to be glad. And the desert is going to rejoice. It's going to blossom as the rose. How beautiful is a rose? Ladies, when you get a rose from someone that loves you, what does it do for you? Huh? Come on. Ladies, talk to me. So, I better get on the husbands. They better start giving some roses. It's been so long since I've seen a rose, I forget what it does to me. Yes. Color and smell, and it brightens it up, doesn't it? So God is saying that this is what's going to happen to your desert. It'll blossom abundantly. Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant life. Everybody say abundant. When you think of abundant, what does that say to you? Lots. More than enough. Overflowing. You know, in Psalm 23, David said, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Don't you think the Lord knows how much that cup can hold? Why does he cause it to overflow? Because he's just a too much God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. So let's start asking for bigger things. Let's start asking for more. Let's be like, what was his name? Oliver Twist. May I have some more, please? So your desert is going to blossom abundantly and rejoice. Did you know that while you're blossoming abundantly, you can rejoice? So God's going to take you through the process. It's going to cause you to rejoice. All right? The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. Okay, let's go down to verse 3. These are some things that take place. He's going to strengthen weak hands. You know, sometimes the strengthening of weak hands, it's dealing with timidity and fear and a desponding frame of mind. See, because we are to work with our hands. These are holy hands. We're supposed to lift up our hands. Amen. We as believers are supposed to lay hands on the sick so that they can recover. Our hands have a purpose. And when your hands don't feel like doing, you know, I've seen some people in church when it comes time to praise and worship. I'm not letting my hands up for nothing. It's time that we loose our hands. We got to shake off these heavy bands that have bound us and kept us down. We got to shake them off sometimes. Some of us need some ants in our pants. So weak hands are going to be strengthened. That's something that's going to take place when the Spirit of God moves. Maybe you have a weakness in your life, and God just needs to come in and strengthen that. Amen. He'll zap you like a bug zapper. You know, he just comes in. Sometimes it's suddenly. He'll just come in and you'll be like, whoa, I feel strong. You get a surge of energy. Amen. And you don't need a Holy Ghost surge protector. Because there's not a meter. There's not a Holy Ghost electric person that comes by and says, okay, you've got this much Holy Ghost, you're past your limit. No, there's no limit in God. So he's going to confirm feeble knees. See, strength resides in the hands for grasping and holding. Paul told Timothy to hold on to eternal life. Hold on. Get a good grip on Jesus. And let him guide you through your life. And confirming feeble knees, it speaks to stand your ground. We're supposed to stand on the promises of God, right? The Bible says in Ephesians that having done all to stand, stand. Well, how can I stand after I've done all to stand? That means you're not relying on you anymore. If you've done all you can to stand and God wants you to stand, then there must be an additional source of strength that will cause you to stand, that will cause you to go the extra mile, that will cause you to go beyond the normal mark, that will cause you to press toward the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That must be, having done all to stand and standing, you must get over into another realm where the Lord is actually standing for you. How many has ever seen the footprints? Little poem. A guy was going through a rough time, you know. First of all, there was two sets of prints. Him and Jesus were walking together. And then all of a sudden, things started to go bad. Kind of like Job. Lost his family, lost his business, lost his income. He's got sores all over his body. His wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I praise him." Then, when he's going through the rough time, he sees one set of prints. And he's like, "Where were you, Lord? I look back and I only see one set of prints." And God says, "Oh, that was when I was carrying you." Oh. You couldn't have made it through what you've been through without God carrying you at times. So we've got to strengthen some weak hands. We've got to confirm some feeble knees. We got to deal with fear. You got to be able to confront fear. Yeah, fear can be on the scene, but that doesn't mean you have to listen to it. Fear can come on you, but that doesn't mean it has to stop you from doing what needs to be done. When the pastor makes an altar call, fear grips people's heart. "Oh my gosh, he's calling me up. What are people going to think? Oh my gosh, I can't go up front. They're going to think I'm weak. They're going to think this." Really? No, because when we give a call to come up front, it's for something. It's for God to put something in you. It's for God to help you. It's for God to touch you. Who doesn't want to be touched by God? But some people have to have a point of contact. They have to have an action to do to receive, because that's faith. God could have made it easy. He could have included an autopilot in the Bible. He could have given us a switch where we could just put it on autopilot, where we don't have to do anything. It flies by itself. But God didn't give us an autopilot switch. We always have to take active control of us. You can't control anybody else but you. So when God moves, people get strengthened. Go with me to Luke 22. Luke 22. I am crying out for God to move. It'd be okay with me if the glory of God would just come in here and we wouldn't say a word. We just experience the presence of God. But you know, it's like climbing a ladder. You got to just take it one rung at a time. If you take it one rung at a time, you eventually get to the top. We're just taking a few rungs tonight. But every time we get together, we're going to climb up higher and higher. Luke 22, verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. He's the destroyer. He's the prince of flies, lord of garbage, or lord of flies, prince of garbage. And he was about to tempt Jesus' closest disciple. And notice what Jesus said in verse 32. "But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." Sometimes our hands need to be strengthened because our faith is weak. Oh yeah, there were times when Jesus told people, "Oh ye of little faith." That means the faith couldn't do much. It was weak. But then there were others, oh, you of great faith. Jesus measured faith. Some were little, some were great. Some had none. Some had a mustard seed. And there are times in your life when you need your faith to be strengthened, especially before a trial or a test. So Jesus prayed, he said, I pray for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew what he was about to go through. He was going to be tempted to disown Jesus, whom he had spent three or more years with, walking with him, working with him, ministering with him, listening to him, being taught by him. Peter got to go on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter got to go in the garden. Peter got to walk on water. He got to do things that some of the other disciples didn't get to do. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. That's a type of his hands being strengthened. And when Peter fell, he denied the Lord three times. The Lord told him it was going to happen. He said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Can anybody come back? Say, are you a comeback kid? Listen, you may have fallen. You may have missed the mark. You may have made a mistake. But you know what? If you turn your heart to God, he can turn it around. Yeah, Peter was knocked down. Peter repented. He wept bitterly. He went back to fishing until Jesus rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he showed up on the beach one day. Peter was in the boat fishing. He took off his clothes, jumped into the water, and swam to shore. And that's when Jesus had a conversation with him. He said, Peter, do you love me? See, if you love the Lord, you can come back. If you love the Lord, you can overcome. If you love the Lord, the devil may knock you down, but you can get back up. That's what it means to strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Yeah, sometimes physically we get weak. Sometimes we get wore out. But there's strength for you. There's a firmness, there's safety, there's security in the Lord. In other words, he's a strong tower. But you got to run to him. And so isn't it funny how God used the one who denied the Lord to preach the first sermon after the Holy Ghost came on everybody? That's a turnaround. He went from denying the Lord to a little girl to speaking to 3,000 over to thousands of people. That's a change. See, when God comes in, that's what you can expect, change to happen. You can expect strength to come. You can expect joy to come. You can expect restoration to come. You can expect these things. Go back to Isaiah 35. I got to get to a place where I can finish. Did you know that Jesus is still praying for us? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. He is currently, right now, as we speak, Jesus is praying for you. He's standing in the gap. He's pleading your case before the Father. He's our advocate before the Father. He's bringing your name up in heaven as a memorial. He's praying so that there's always an opportunity to receive strength. Prayer is going on your behalf constantly and continually. So you can always receive strength when you need it. If you have a weak moment, there's strength. Verse 4 of Isaiah 35. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Hey, did you know that sometimes your brothers and sisters need encouragement? Be strong. Be strong. Say to them, be strong. What did God tell Joshua as a key to get into the promises? Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid. And you know what? He had to tell them more than once. How well do we encourage one another? See, when revival happens, members of the body of Christ encourage one another. Hey, you can do it. Hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, you look kind of down. What's going on? When revival happens, we begin to care for one another in greater ways. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, or they're anxious, be strong, fear not. Why? Behold, your God will come with vengeance and recompense. He'll take care of business and he'll give you a reward. He will come and save you. Doesn't that instill hope in a person? Hey, just hang in there, Elliot. God's coming. God's on his way. Just hang in there. Be strong. Don't fear. Don't get upset when people deal with your fear. Because every time Jesus showed up, he dealt with fear. Fear not. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Jesus never let fear fester. Never. When he showed up on the scene, fear cannot fester in his presence. Thank God. You know what a marvelous thing it is to be free from fear? Fear can knock at the door and you can say, sorry, I'm not answering it. Go back to the one who sent you. Or just let Jesus answer the door. When Jesus opens up the door, fear says, ooh, sorry, wrong house. Verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. You know, sometimes we can be spiritually blind, right? And Jesus went around opening blind eyes and deaf ears. One time he cast out a devil of a person, and the Bible says he both saw and heard because he was blind and mute. Couldn't talk or couldn't speak until he met Jesus. These are some things that we can expect to happen in a revival when God moves. We can expect blind eyes to open physically and spiritually. When a spiritual blind eye is open, that means you get revelation. And we need revelation. The lame man shall leap as a hart. You ever see a hart leap? I like to watch these nature shows with the big cats, and he's got these gazelles, man, and they bound, you know. Listen, if you couldn't walk and all of a sudden you can walk, you're not going to go, oh, that was great. No, you're going to be excited. You're going to be jumping and leaping. You're going to be carrying on. Why? Because that's what the power of God does. Listen, God, you know, sometimes in a desert, there can be things to deceive you. They're called mirages. It looks like it's water, but when you get there, it's only sand. And there are false signs and wonders. There are lying signs and wonders, but there are also real, true, and genuine signs and wonders. And I want the real, the true, and the genuine, because our God is real. He really does miracles. He really is all powerful. He really can interrupt nature anytime that he wants. He is above every natural law. He really can heal bodies. And he really wants to. He can save the worst person. He really can. There is a real, true and genuine move of God. And it's beginning to stir. It's beginning to happen. It's beginning to flow. You know, when they open up a dam into a riverbed, it takes a little bit of time for the water to fill up the riverbed, right? It takes some time for the water to come down and to fill the riverbed. And it does take some time for us to get accustomed to God's move. Did you know that when your body grew, you went through growing pains? Because your body had to adjust with the changes that were taking place. And spiritually, we have to adjust for the changes that are going to be taking place. And sometimes they can take place rapidly. I'm not putting God in a box. There are suddenlies. There are processes. There were times Jesus had to pray for people more than once. But I'm going to keep pressing in. Amen? Why don't you stand up with me? And I want you to lift up your hands, everybody in the place. If you can't lift up your hands, then come up for prayer and I'll pray for you for freedom. Amen? Listen, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to them that believe, and I believe, therefore I receive. The power of the gospel. Yeah, you need to put your faith in the power of God. Amen? And if there's anybody that you need prayer, maybe you need strength, maybe you need to confirm something in you, maybe you need something shook up in you, maybe you just need a fresh touch, I just want to pray for you. Amen? I just feel led like we need to pray for some people. So if you're bold enough and you would come up and say, I want prayer. It's not so much a need, but you want it. Amen? I just want to pray for you and let God touch you. Let him do what he wants to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord God, for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He's got power. And he can exceed the need. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name. Just breathe on her, Holy Ghost, right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. We just let the power of God have its way in Jesus' name. Let strength come right now. Strength come, Father, to confirm the grip on things that she already has in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for strengthening her with might right now. Be strong in Jesus, in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Oh, have your way, Holy Spirit, right now. Have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit, right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you.